So we're holding over here. We had started last time. I don't remember if we got into it. Mida keneged mida. So it says they go through a very, very grueling procedure with her. Really, really very unpleasant. And it says in the Gemara that every single thing that she did, that's exactly. So let's see the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Yaakov. It's Yudalit, Keta Yudalit. A person gets paid back in whatever, however he, whatever he did. He kosht atzma l'avera amokim menavla, and so a whole series of things that it goes back and forth. And then the Gemara says, "Rav Yosef, afal gav de mida batel, even though bizman hazeh we have no." We don't do dalt mizus bezin, so the mida itself we don't is bimida loy batel, but bimida is loy batel, which means mida keneged mida, that is not batel. The Rav Yosef can tell b'chi emesh rabbi samigdash avagah shabbat sanhedrin dalt mizus loy batel. But tomorrow when he's talking about batel, ala din dalt mizus loy batel. Mishas chayv skila loy from a gager chayder sosoi. Mishas chayv sefer nifl bedleiko nachash makishoi. Mishas chayv arigo nimsel malchus and so on. And so b'meila there is something to mida keneged mida. Let's see a piece of Gemara here which talks about it a little bit. Yes.
What's the point of
meeting and getting meeting? That's part of what we want to talk about, obviously. Tanya, Hayrab Meir Oimem Minayin Shabbi Midas or Moided Bom Moiden Loy Shenemar Visaso Vishalot Riveno Enli Alasso Minayin Rabbis Tarkov Hatsi Tarkov, so on. So over there, it's actually talking about. The Gemara says, I understand mida keneged mida. If a guy did a very bad avera, we HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets him have it. What about if he did a small avera? So the word so over here is it's a measure, but it's used in the context of like gotcha sa'osam. It's talking about a full measure of avera. So he says, had no even tiny amount. Tamloim ki kol sa'oin sa'en berash. So means, let's say a person's onesh is X amount of money should go to waste, should be taken from him. It can happen over time also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it over installments. And then goes through all over the same thing again. Everything that all of the inyanim that are in the punishment, everything has a mida keneged mida. And goes through the whole arichas, and finally it says v'chimeachat tazayin v'chimeachat nafkal amachas lachas dimtzei cheshem kichol soyin barash lamali. So you have two psukim for the concept of mida keneged mida. So what do I need two psukim for? So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for Umas HaOlam to take revenge in when it's time to call it quits. Whenever you've done, you know, you've completely, it's time for destroyed Umma completely, that's when it happens. And then the Gemara goes back and forth, Amy Varov Gimel Kaisis Lama and so on. So the Gemara answers, well, Kapanim, that's a second inyan, but this basically is the inyan of mida keneged mida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits. So the question obviously is, what's the point of mida keneged mida? What's the inyan? And more so, I mean, Chazal say that even though bizman hazeh, Chazal calls punishments that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed in the Torah as being Midah Keneged Midah, and also Bizman HaZeh, even though an Ummah has not, even though we don't give punishments, the type of punishment HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Midah Keneged Midah. What's the point of it? Somewhere else says, B'midah Shad HaMoided Moiden Loi Dovah Zeh Mevuah Ki Ha'oinesh Roi Ba'isa Midah Klema Ba'isa Inyin Shahoya Ba'achet Moshel Zeh Asoite Kish Tatsan Avera Amokim Menavlo V'chi Ein Roi Shashem Yisborch Asha Hanagose B'yoshe B'mishpot V'kashoya Kishut B'chet V'chi Ein Roi V'midah Zeh Mishpot La'afcha Chet L'nivlo וזהו עונש ראשון שהוא רואה אליה, ודוב זה מבואה. וכן כל העונשים המגיעים לאדם מגיעים דוב על דוי מלאכת, כמו היגלו סעצמא עבירה עמוק מגיל עליו, הירח יסחל בעבירה לפי כך תלוק הירח תחילה, וכל זה, כי העונש הזה הוא ראשון שיובה עליו כאשר הוא דוי מלאכת, לפי שדוב הזה הוא משפט היושע גמר. So moral gives us some sort of abstract explanation. I want to leave the explanation of morale for last, and I want to go to two other understandings, and then finally we'll do the morale afterwards. The simplest understanding of Chaim Shlavitz would say always in a Shmuzin that Midah Keneged Midah is educational. In other words, the purpose of a punishment is to give people an inkling of what they did wrong, and to prod a person to tshuva. If there'd be no type of explanation as to what the person did wrong, then he's not going to know what to do tshuva on. Reb Chaim Shlavitz had a chazal that he would bring as a proof to it. It says that because Yosef did three averis connected his brothers, he suffered three punishments. So one aver was, he said that his brothers that they were Oivan Arias, so Potiphar's wife started up with him. So that definitely was a punishment because she basically almost had him killed. He tainted that the Mazalzim Neashvachas, he got sold as an Evid. Really terrible punishment. The third thing is, he said they were eating Evid Menachai, they brought back the Ksoines in Dam, and they said Chai Roach Losu. So he asked, well, that's not really any type of punishment. I mean, it there's nothing there that affected him. Selling him off to slave affected him. But what did everything else affect him? So Chaim Shlavitz would say that the point of Midah Keneged Midah is to show you that you're wrong. And even if it's not painful, but the demonstration of it is what is important. So it's true that most of us doesn't catch our attention unless it's painful, Chas V'Shalom. But the point of Midah Keneged Midah, so Yosef HaTzadik, that point was brought home by the events that happened. That's Reb Chaim said. He would also actually say he had a story that he'd always tell, and he would make a big thing of it. Why it is that if we're not given a clear message, sometimes, even if it seems a clear message, without words of a Navi, we don't get it. So he would say, we have the story of the devious mother-in-law, deceptive mother-in-law. And he would say that the Baruch Tam was one of the Gdolim in Galicia, and he had two running arguments with his wife. One argument was, he had heart problem, and the doctor said he has to drink a cup of hot milk every morning, first thing on the morning, before davening, he has to drink it. He did not want to, and his wife used to insist, and they would always have an argument about it. And Reb Chaim would say, so who was right? Of course she was right. I mean, Sakonas Nefesh, she has to drink it, and so on. The second argument was, they had a daughter, and the Baruch Tam very much wanted Reb Chaim Sanzer as a son of the Divrei Chaim. Reb Chaim was the God Lador, was incredible Goyen, but he had a problem that he limped on a foot. So his wife didn't want the Shidduch because, he's a Balmum. Reb Chaim said, and who's right? Of course, he was right. The Divrei Chaim was the God Lador. He, in fact, did marry her. That was his wife, actually. So there are these two arguments. One morning, as she's bringing in a cup of hot milk to husband before davening, she slipped, fell, and broke a leg. So she yelled out, "My husband is right. He shouldn't be drinking milk before davening." That was like the way in. So his point was, she understood there was a lesson to be learned, but she didn't hop that the midik was a broken foot instead of the milk. That's how Reb Chaim would say that we need the guidance of a Navi, because events themselves are open for interpretation to how we want it. But the main point of it was midik neged miga is for educational purposes. One. Two.
So is a quick way, if it's for educational,
yes.
You don't get the message, then just forget it.
Right, but Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give up. He tries very hard to get the message, correct? But,
what's the gather of Lois and Nachashu? Isn't it, doesn't mean that if you make simonim...
That's if you have a shail of how to act, but that a person, it says in Chazal, Ro Adam Shisurim Boy Malov, Yifashish B'maisov, Yimashish B'maisov. The whole point of a Tainis Tzibur is that when we see difficult times, we need to be mechazik something. And tefillah b'shasa, it definitely, listen actually means I take some arbitrary simen and sort of peg that as my advice. So if a black cat crosses my path, I'm not going to do this. If this happens, this. Those are nonsense stuff. And it's not, here the Pshaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu does hit back at us, and we're supposed to get the message.
We still need a Navi to know what the message is.
So the problem is that a lot of times, it's like I said, when they had the tragedy in Har Nof. So 3 years ago, that was just the yard site. So people knew exactly why it happened. Some people said it's because we're still occupying the territories. Some people was because we gave up Gaza. Some people said it's because the Degel faction, and some people said it's because the Peleg faction. It was very clear why it happened. It just was a machlokes whether which of the two was the Gairim, us or them. That always seems to be so. Yes, in a chami, a person it takes things and doesn't understand that. But al kaponim, that's one hezber. There's a second hezber, and this hezber is, I guess, sort of a Kabbalah dick. The idea that a tikkun, in other words, if a person has absorbed a particular avera in let's say a garment. So let's use a very graphic mashal. Imagine I have an oil stain on my lapel of the jacket. So I need to remove the stain from the lapel of the jacket. Washing the rest of my clothing is not going to do much. I also need some sort of solvent, some sort of cleansing material that is as strong in breaking the bonds of the oil to the garment as the thing is attached to it. So when a person does an avera, he gets a certain tam avera, he gets a certain either corruption of his person, you can call it tam avera, many different ways you can describe it, and when he desists, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a punishment in the same general area, the opposite direction, it takes away the tam. So let's take a very crude mashal. Imagine a person ate something that was treif, and then so we'll call the pleasure of the eating it a 10. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends on him a bellyache that is of the same madrega, we'll call it a number 10 bellyache. So the pleasure that he got from eating it is, and a person realizes that this bellyache is caused by it, that removes any vestiges of that pleasure. So he sort of got it out of his system, the attachment to the treif. That would be a second way of looking. It's more a Kabbalah way. you also have a similar idea in the Chassidim Arishonim, like the Chassidim Ashkenaz, who were ascetics and self-mortification, the whole genre of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid and all of, and this is at the turn of the millennium. So they were very big into something called Tshuvas HaMishkal. So if a person was nischamim by an aveira, he got caught up in a passion. So the tikkun for that is to lay in the snow and the ice and freeze yourself. It was sort of a way of simulating that type of midah keneged midah. That's talked about. So a second understanding of midah keneged midah is it's reversing the process mitzad the tikkun to the person's nefesh. So if a person lamashal cuts some corners for monetary gain, and then he loses that money, so the person it sort of leaves the taste in his mouth. It's like when you eat something that's spoiled, you get sick, you can't look at that anymore. That's the idea. That's the second idea. It's a tikkun. It's a tshuvas hamishkal, and so on. What the Maharal is saying is I think much further than both of them. At least he's hinting at it. He doesn't, I mean, he most places refers to here as where he talks about it, so it's hard to get a really good gauge. But the point he seems to say is as follows. We have a very, let's look at the concept of justice in its abstract. So in American, what in American law, any secular law, when we ask ourselves, what's the point of justice, punishment? So we have two mahalchim. One is to prevent people from doing it. If I know that I do X, Y, or Z, then I'm going to suffer consequence. So I think long and hard before I do it. That's one mahalach in punishment. The second mahalach is rehabilitation. It sort of helps get me back al derech hayasher. That's kind of the vague sense of what quote unquote justice is. We don't look at it as being something be'emis or be'etzim. It's a convenient device. So we need a way to make sure people think twice or three times before they do something bad. Here we have a mahalach. There's also a detention for the purpose that a person doesn't go out and do things, but the first two are the usual mahalach given fit. But the truth is, instinctively, we have a different feel. It's only right that if you did X, X should happen to you. It's only right, you know, down deep, nekama rings true with us. The Torah asking nekama asked of us to do something that's highly unnatural, Rabban says. So what's the hair of nekama in that way? When we read about somebody who did something wrong and got away with it, it bothers us. And not just, well, other people are going to do it also. That's not really the reason. It goes much deeper than that. And the answer is as follows, I think. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria with some extraordinary yesodos that are underpinnings of the Bria. One of them is the concept of balance or symmetry. Symmetry would be a better word, or balance. Lamashal, the law of conservation of energy and matter. So we expect that if we bounce a ball this way, there's going to be energy bouncing it back the other way. We used to it, that's everyday phenomena, and we recognize that for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. That seems to be true of nature. If I twist a spring with X amount of energy, twisted it this way, it will jump back at me with the same amount of energy in the other direction. It's, everything has a certain static how it is, and you can distort and push it towards one side or the other, but it will always press to come back to the other side. That is a very, very fundamental phenomena in the Bria. We expect that to be true in terms of the ruchnistic dimension of Bria. That if somebody did something wrong, he distorted, we expect an opposite reaction, an equal, to happen. It just seems right. The word just as in Lashon justice, seems to us a mahalach in the Bria parallel to the law of physics, where everything, you know, there's a law of conservation of energy. If energy has pushed things to one direction, it will come back in the other direction to bring everything back to where it was. That's to us is a very, very strong, what's the right word for it? Natural law. It's something very fundamental. And that's why if we heard that Reuven killed somebody, we really expect Reuven to be killed. That seems to us no. If not, we feel something's been perverted in the Bria and something's gone wrong. The Torah, when the Torah told us not to take Nekama, first of all, Nekama is something that Ramban says the Torah requested of us to do something superhuman. It's not normal, you know. I mean, imagine I go to your house and I say, "Can I borrow the car?" And you say, "You know, I really don't feel like lending you the car." Okay. Next week you come to me and say, "Could I borrow the car?" It takes every ounce of to say hello. I just don't get it. The Torah asked the man of us a second time behind the reason why you shouldn't be misnakim is the Rishonim say Ramban Chinuch. We look at it in perspective of it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting. You know, this person may have been the agent, but really, Adrabba, this is something that I deserve to happen to me because I didn't lend out my car to somebody else. So Betzim, the first time the person refused me, is actually the piece that's reinstating the justice instead of this way. So that's but that nekama is something, and it's not only personal nekama. So personal nekama has more to it. I don't want to go into that. But when we read in a paper about X did something to Y, we really feel something is wrong if Y doesn't get the same punishment. We're not interested in him being rehabilitated. We're talking about killing somebody. He killed somebody. We expect him to get killed. We're not talking about him, you know, we want to keep from being a danger to society because, I mean, even if the guy is going to die a natural death, we'd rather see him killed, be put to death. Because somewhere along the line, we instinctively feel that as being right, because that is the atzmius and the teva de bria. So this type of mida keneged mida is exactly as it is. Akash Baruch created the world, and any pull or push in one direction is going to right itself out by a push and a pull in the other direction. That's mida keneged mida. As long as we have the right or the obligation to be done people, like a Sanhedrin, then we're the ones that are responsible for mida. We're the ones that's called mida. If we lost that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. This is the process that happens by itself that we'll call mida keneged mida. It's a mida pushing the mida. Okay.
How come Ayin Tachasayin is Momun?
Well, let's go the other direction. Why is it called Ayin Tachasayin? This is the exact point. Reb Chaim says it the very Lamdish way. Others farm write it. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim describes it. Ayin Tachasayin means really it should have been an eye for an eye. But since that's an impossibility, there's no such thing as an eye for eye. Every eye is something else, same person. We do it through money, but the point is, I mean, Reb Chaim Brisker writes in the Shtegel Torah that Ayin Tachas Ayin, it's punitive rather than remunerative. We're not trying to pay back for the eye like Nezikin. It's rather And it's a shayla in the Gemara, whose ID pay, my ID, other person's ID. It's something which is meant to sort of act out this type of inyan of midik neged midah. That's exactly it. Mammon is the way in which we carry it out, but it's not what the thing itself is. Okay, any questions, any points, anything on this? Okay, so I think we'll hold it here. It's the next one is an inyan b'fnei atzmo. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't take revenge from a Uma until it's fulfilled its so. That's a whole mahalach in its own right. So we'll leave it for here. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, the link is going to work even with you out, with you not here, Yaakov.
Even without me.
Are you sure? What?
It should record automatically also, and I'll give Reb Peter the code to my, I think I can get it already. Did I give you the code to my account?
Eshel?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, in the WhatsApp, in the invite.
Right.
Okay.
So
I just put in Eshel and it's done.
No, I'll email you now a username and password in case you need to log in as my account. You're just going to be shown on the screen as Yaakov Lopiansky, if you don't mind. but then you can play with it if there's anything, I think the only reason you need the host is if someone makes noise in the background, whatever, you can mute him. That's the difference.
Okay, great. Thanks, Yaakov. Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Okay,
Beseda Kultiv.
Agat.
Good job.